Hey, Real Ghost Stories Online family. It's Sunday, and we're going to start doing something interesting over here at Real Ghost Stories Online, calling it True Crime Sunday, where we'll play one of three brand new episodes of our other podcast, Dark Side Of. It's a true crime podcast. So if you love those dark stories and following true crime, you need to subscribe to Dark Side Of. Myself, Carol Hughes, and Stacey Cole, all hosted every single week with new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts. But right now, enjoy one of three brand new episodes of Dark Side Of from this week. Today on The Dark Side Of, Southwest passenger arrested for masturbating four times during a flight. That must have been a long flight. Mesa man stabs his dad to death after he refuses to pay for groceries. Sarah Lawrence sex cult leader convicted of 15 crimes, including sex trafficking and extortion. Those stories and a whole lot more today on The Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday here on the program. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's program. What's going on?
Hey there. I was a little late today. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I had a little issue.
What was going on?
Well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed by it, but so I wear a contact lens in my left eye, and I've been doing it for easily like 10 years now.
And this is because you want to be a pirate, right? You're trying to slowly get one eye worse than the other so you can do the patch.
Right. You know, why not?
Yep.
New accessory, put a mask on, a patch. Nobody will see anything on
your
face. New
trend. Yep.
But as I'm, you know, looking at the clock and I'm like, oh, we got to get the podcast rolling here. I got it stuck up under my eyelid, my upper lid, and I couldn't get it out. And I'm like digging in my eyeball. My eye is just watering. I can't see anything. So I'm just like, I can't function. Like, I've never put in a contact lens before, even though I've been doing it for about 10 or 15 years. And it just was like up in my lid. I couldn't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being in the sink. So there I am digging in my eyeball, like probably scratching the living hell out of it. And it's sitting in the sink. But, you know, I'm tearing up so bad that there's no way I could see that it was in the sink.
So you're sitting there digging away in your eye, thinking that this thing is going to get very close to brain matter if you don't get it out soon.
Well, I was so worried, dude, that it was going to be stuck in my skull for years. And like, I'm going to die from this thing.
Wouldn't your body just like naturally kind of like push it out or something? Like, if you get like a sliver, you know, you can get it out with the tweezers, but if you wait long enough, your body's like, get this out of me. And it just kind of comes out.
There is, a matter of fact, there's a story about a woman who had a lens stuck in her eye for 30 years. I shit you not.
How does that even happen?
Well, it's my worst fear. So I think she was like in her teens when she had put it in her eye, and I don't know why she didn't get it out. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Because that's been my worst fear. Like, I knew about this story. And then, so every time I have issues with the contact lens, it's like, it must come out because this lady, okay. Yeah. She was 14.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she had lost the lens. So she didn't realize it was still in her eye.
Mm-hmm.
She got whacked in the eye by while playing badminton. At age 42, she went to the eye doctor because her left eyelid had been swollen and drooping for 6 months. They determined she had a cyst. When they removed it, the cyst broke open and revealed a hard contact lens.
Oh my God.
So see, I was freaking out. I'm like, this thing must come out.
So it actually can happen.
It can happen. Now, hard contact lenses, that's different. I mean, this is a soft one, so it was all squishy. It probably would have worked its way out. So, you know, it's like my fear of, you know, being eaten by a shark, you know, even when you're in a freshwater lake. It's probably not going to happen, but it doesn't stop you from being scared.
If somebody let out a baby shark and it still was, you know, it somehow adapted to fresh water and then,
you know, grew. You never know. I mean, and humans are weird. And I'm seriously, I'm so afraid of sharks that I don't care. Even in a pool, I'm like looking around. So this whole contact lens thing just messed me up this morning.
Wow. Well, yeah, that would, I don't like anything in my eyes to begin with. So and I don't wear contacts. I've never had a contact in my eye, so I don't really know what it feels like, but it just doesn't look appealing. The whole, okay, take them in, take them out, you know, clean them like this. I don't know. I wear glasses now and, you know, I don't know. I have relatively good eyesight, even without the glasses, but yeah, I can't, no.
Yeah, I think contact lenses are a great thing. I would be lost without mine, but I don't think we should have our fingers in our eyeballs every day. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's good. And this morning I proved it.
I got to say, you know, the idea of becoming the pirate and doing the eye patch, it was attempted in the early 90s. if you remember the singer Gabrielle, do you remember this? You know what I'm talking about? And this would have been the hit song. 95.5 WIFC, today's best music, Gabrielle. This is Dreams.
How do you remember this stuff? There is stuff stuck in your brain.
Retro Lunch coming up next. Remember this?
No, I don't. I don't remember this at all.
Let me hit the hook. She wore an eye patch. Because they are
true, yeah. By choice?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Remember this? You know you got to have
hope. You know you got to be strong. Yes, now I do.
Dreams can come true. Yeah, it was kind of a good song. She has some sort of condition where one of her eyes kind of droops and it looks weird on stage. So she's not blind, but she did that to hide it. Now she just combs her hair over her eye instead of doing the eye patch these days.
Oh, honey, just be proud of who you are. Just let it roll.
Let it droop. Know?
I mean, it's 2022 or whatever year it is. Yeah. And anything goes now. It's just, you know, we've lived through hell. Mm-hmm. We survived. If we're here right now, we survived. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you've got a wart at the end of your nose and it waves at you as people walk by.
It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter now. Just be who you are.
But there you go. So no parrot.
Yeah. So that's why I was late.
Well, now we know. And now you know to check the sink before you continue to put a fork into your eye.
Oh, my God. No kidding. So stupid. I'm looking down at it and I'm like, you're mocking me, aren't you?
I think I get like one of those cocktail forks, like for like tiny shrimp or something, those small ones. That would probably get it out too.
Yeah. That would work.
Do a lot
that
of damage. That would work. Ugh. Did you ever do the laser eye surgery or anything like that?
I did.
That would scare the shit out of me.
It worked beautifully. I can see at a distance. Mm-hmm. But as people start to get older, you can't see up close. But you know, oh my God, now that you brought that up, I just saw an ad for an eye drop that for nearsight or farsighted people, that if you put in like one drop a day, mm-hmm. and it can help you see up close for 24 hours.
Wow. That's kind of amazing that a drop can do that.
Yeah. It really shocks me. And I want to look into it, but I'm kind of looking at the side effects. I just
going to say, you know, side effects.
Yeah. Might cause, you know, blindness, but you know, is it death. Worth the risk? Why not?
Yeah. If you can see close, you can read the book. So then you die. It's like,
I had migraine headaches for a decade that mm-hmm. were just horrific. And I had a medication that one of the side effects was possible death.
So, isn't that
seriously, people just get to a point where they're like, oh, fuck it. You know, I'm going to give this a try.
Like anything's better than this. Yeah. It's like, I'll give it a shot. If I die, you know, whatever. Yeah. No, I get it. That seems to be like the side effect in almost everything, though, technically, isn't it? Like after the list of everything and may cause death.
And that's the thing with drug studies. When I worked in the vet world, which I still do, but just differently, drug trials, they just take a sample of the population. So anything could happen. You could be taking fake pills and the person dies during the study.
Yeah.
So what happens is they have to indicate that somebody died during the study.
Yeah.
And it may not have anything to do with the medication at all, but they have to report that. So you never know why somebody died, taking a medication.
What if it was like a car accident? Would that count as death, or only like if they died of like supposedly, natural causes of some sort?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know if that, I mean, death counts as death, but I don't know if that actually will still count as, you're part of the study and you will get clocked by a city bus.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because of the medication. Well, unless it made you drowsy and you didn't realize there was a bus coming.
Exactly. Like, did that influence the, I don't know. It's them.
Yeah. See, it's so, it's just such the world is so fickle. I mean, anything can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sleep well the night before and you step out into the street and the bus kills you. So was it the fact that your partner was snoring so much that you didn't get much sleep and then you can, they can sue your partner for snoring?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Here's a question for you. Would you rather be trying to dig the thing out of your eye with a cocktail fork for 4 hours or sit next to a Southwest passenger who's masturbating 4 times during a flight from Seattle to Phoenix?
I knew you were going to go into this in some twisted, sick way.
Would you rather? Which one would you rather be experiencing?
Well, somebody in my family, and I'm not going to reveal who it was, female.
You have a tie-in to this.
Well, she was on a flight, a very long flight, and somebody was doing something inappropriate next to her.
Like under a blanket, at least?
Flying is stressful enough, and then you got some guy whacking off next to you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Like, did he at least have a blanket or something? Like,
I don't know. And I don't know if he was just like fondling himself or something. It was just, like, can't you wait? I'm not a guy, obviously. Yeah. I don't have a penis, but help me out here, Tony.
I'm glad we've established that. Yes, I think you certainly can wait. There's no reason why you should be doing anything down there. I kind of understand, like, if you sit down or something and there's a bit of adjusting to do, but sometimes that's just move yourself around. You don't necessarily need your hands for that. Sometimes
So help me out with the penis here.
Uh-huh.
So if you're if this is a weird conversation between us, but just educate me on the penis. If you are adjusting yourself, have you stimulated it enough that you're like, oh, now I got to finish it?
No. No. I can't think of any time where like that would ever occur. No.
Something is just weird. I mean, this guy 4 times too. And this, what was it? A flight from Seattle to Phoenix. That is a short flight.
It's not a long flight. Yeah. You're just going like north to south really quick in more ways than one.
More like...
He's kind of dead. A man on the Southwest Airlines flight from Seattle to Phoenix is facing federal charges for pulling down his pants and masturbating at least 4 times in front of a female passenger, beginning shortly after takeoff. So how the fuck do you get to do this 4 times? Does it not get reported? Antonio Sherrod McGarity, if you want to go friend him on Facebook, was arrested by officers from the Phoenix Police Department when Southwest Flight 3814 landed at Sky Harbor International Airport on Saturday. The complaint states, however, McGarity told cops that he didn't do anything wrong and, in fact, thought it was kind of kinky, it says. I didn't do anything wrong. It was kind of kinky. The incident started early in the 3-hour flight when McGarity commenced his indelicate behavior.
An interesting way to phrase it, his indelicate behavior.
I know, like how McGarity was seated in seat 11F. So think of that if you're ever on a Southwest flight, that 11F you're in, it could be the seat of the masturbator. And the female witness was seated in 11E. The complaint states, shortly after takeoff and while the aircraft was in the air, McGarity exposed his penis by pulling down his pants and shorts and began masturbating. When the female seated next to him noticed the lewd behavior, she began taking pictures of McGarity when he fell asleep after masturbating for roughly an hour. female passenger told crew members about what she witnessed and was allowed to move to another seat. So you're taking pictures, I'm hoping, just for evidence?
Okay, now that's starting to get a little weird. I would start filming. I wouldn't be taking pictures. I would film him so I had, you know, evidence, I guess.
You'd go even further and film. I would just get the hell out of that seat. I don't care if the, you know, fasten seatbelt sign is on. I would just be like, what the fuck, and up. I would probably yell something pretty quickly, too, to gain a lot of attention.
Hit, like, the call button. Like, you need to come here right now and see what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. The complaint states that when the Southwest Airlines flight landed, Phoenix police officers interviewed the woman, who reiterated she had seen McGarity masturbating on four separate occasions using both his left and right hands. Multidextrous.
Yes, dude. He is ambidextrous.
Wow. Talent. McGarity was also interviewed by FBI agents who allegedly admitted to his in-flight behavior. McGarity advised that he asked the female witness if she minded if he masturbates, the complaint states. So I'm assuming she said no. Keep reading. According to McGarity, the female witness put her hands in the air and said, "It really doesn't matter."
Okay, so I'm guessing this is just a woman who is like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, you know, it doesn't matter. Just whatever, keep your stuff over there. I'm going to read my magazine."
Wow, McGarity thought the response was kind of kinky and believed the female was comfortable with him masturbating, the complaint states. In a statement to the Daily Beast, Southwest spokesperson said McGarity had been slapped with a lifetime ban.
Yeah, no shit.
Does this get you just like banned from Southwest, or is this like a no-fly list ban? On April 2nd, we received reports of inappropriate customer behavior on flight 3814 from Seattle to Phoenix. Situation was reported to crew members while in flight, and the captain contacted law enforcement to meet aircraft. I would love to hear the cockpit voice recorder on that. We got a man masturbating in 11C. Everyone stay calm, and we'll be arriving shortly. The beverage service will be coming out in just a few minutes.
Do you follow on Instagram or Facebook the account of things that happen on planes? I forget the name of it. Passenger shaming?
No.
Oh my God. The things you see are just, you know, you're locked in this tube, mm-hmm. you know, for how many hours? The doors are locked. You can't just step off a plane, mm-hmm. you know, in midair, even though you might want to. So you're locked up with people you've never met before. Mm-hmm. God knows who's on that plane. You know, you always hear about, is there a doctor on the plane? And you know, like three people stand up, or a nurse or a paramedic or something. But, you know, on the same vein, you've got, you know, the others of society who are sitting next to you masturbating, you know?
I can't imagine any situation where like somebody's like, is there a doctor on this plane? And somebody's like, is there a chronic masturbator on this plane? We need you right now.
I can guarantee there probably is. Ew.
Somebody raised, I'm a chronic masturbator. Yeah, I can come help. What do you need?
God, I can do it four times with both hands.
Oh my God.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Four times. That's not a long flight.
No, I'm just impressed with the both hands. I'm right-handed, and I had elbow surgery a couple years ago, and I couldn't do shit with my left hand. Mm-hmm. It was such a struggle. I mean, I couldn't brush my teeth. I like cut my gums. This guy's talented.
Yeah. Yeah. And has quite the stamina to keep up that many times in that short period of time.
Four times. I don't have a penis, but I think that's a pretty good turnaround time.
And the shocking thing is here, we're not hearing anything about like, you know, he was arrested and put in there. Like he was questioned.
He is on a Southwest no-fly list.
Okay. Well, American Airlines, Delta, look out.
Yeah, you know, how many, you know, JetBlue, here he comes.
Wow. I'm just, last year, a Southwest Airlines pilot was arrested and charged with exposing his genitals during a 2020 flight from Philadelphia to Orlando. The incident was not witnessed by passengers, according to court filings. The FAA.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, you're supposed to be flying the plane.
Oh, he's flying the plane. What was it? Michael Hack allegedly intentionally committed an act of lewd and indecent and obscene exposure of his genitals during a flight from Philadelphia to Orlando. He was a pilot in command in Southwest Airlines flight, flying from Philadelphia to Orlando, when he allegedly intentionally committed the act. Acts began, continued, and were completed while the aircraft was in flight. A one-page document filed last Friday in the Federal District Court of Maryland does not indicate where the lewd act occurred on the flight. Well, context is everything. Why would that? That should be in there.
That should be in the story. Journalism is just not the same anymore.
But every story is like two paragraphs, and it's written by like a 17-year-old. Brandy King of Southwest tells NBC that the allegation was made by another cell. Oh, the pilot. Another pilot made the allegation, was not witnessed by passengers. So that's got to tell you this was going on behind the bulletproof door.
God. Well, can you imagine? You look over and the co-pilot or whatever is just whacking off while you're on autopilot or whatever. You're like, excuse me, can you wait? Again, it's the same question. Can't you wait?
I don't know what the hell is going on. I mean, is this like systemic of the Uber amount and access to porn that we have in our world now, that it used to be you'd have to have like a magazine or something and wait till you're home?
Yeah, now it's on your cell phone.
Yeah, now you can just go to anywhere, any fucking public restroom, and you'll pull it out, and there you go. Well,
you remember Jeffrey Toobin of CNN?
What happened?
He was on
there?
A Zoom call, and he just decided to start stroking the dolphin or whatever. I don't know what you call it. What do you call it?
I don't really have any real weird puns for it. I don't name my body parts, and I don't make strange puns for actions. It's like, it's what you're doing.
Again, I was in a Zoom meeting yesterday. I did not have the urge to just, whip out my junk and go for it. I just don't understand. Can't you wait?
Well, good news. Jeffrey Toobin is back at CNN 8 months after exposing himself. So there you go. Yeah, you can. There's a little bit of a slap on the wrist there. And I did say wrist. And then you can go back to your job. I don't fucking get people. I
don't understand. You know, we all have urges and things like that. But you're sitting in a meeting talking about, your agenda and things like that at work. And you're like, ooh, I'm just going to have to rub one out here. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I get the need to get up and get some coffee, or I need a snack, but the other stuff just doesn't pop into my head because I don't think that way. So I guess, maybe I'm being unfair, but I don't understand, sitting in a meeting, sitting in the pilot seat of a plane, sitting in a passenger seat, and you're like, I've got to do this right now. I have to do this now.
Of all the things, I mean, I can understand, like, you didn't have the mic on mute, so then you accidentally said some shit you shouldn't have,
Oh, God, yeah, been there, done that.
I get that, but I don't get the, I'm going to start jacking off while I'm on the conference call, And this is what happened at a CNN conference call. And that's a public figure. So I'm wondering, with all of the, everything that's remote nowadays after or during COVID, this has happened to more than just him on corporate conference calls. I wonder how many executives over the last year or two have been fired because of having the same sort of accidental incident.
Well, and I wonder how many people in their places of business are they just showing up in the bathroom doing it? I mean, it's
locking the office door.
Oh, God. Yeah. Is it just something because we were working at home and it was easier and you felt more comfortable? Well, but no, you're on a plane too. So
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
And if he had been seated next to a man, would he have done the same thing? Was it just because there was a woman there and he felt like he could, victimize her in some way?
I guess the question, I mean, in no way, should anyone do this, and in no way should this question even be posed to another human being of, do you mind if I masturbate next to you on this flight? But the fact that she said, what was it? It doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't think it's permission. I think I would take that almost as like, baffling. I would be baffled, and I could see myself saying something like that. Just not like in shock. Like, it doesn't matter. You're like, what the fuck are you? What did I just respond to? I have a tendency when I get questioned about something, or I'm like busy doing something and I don't know what the answer is, or I'm just distracted, of saying hun. Like, it's okay, hun. No matter. It's, or honey. I don't know why, but I do it. And, like, I'll say it to the fucking dog. I'll say it to a contractor. I'll yeah. say it to anybody. It's like, honey, it's okay, honey. You know, I said it the other day. Somebody, I was confronted in a dark Walmart parking lot, walking back to my car. All of a sudden, this guy just pops out from behind a creepy old white van, you know, totally like, let's Ew. Abduct somebody van. And he goes, excuse me, sir, can I have some money for groceries? I just drove here from Seattle, and I really need, like, you're in fucking Arkansas from Seattle, and you haven't figured maybe what to do or how, what the fuck? But I didn't say it. I said, not today, honey. And I don't know why I said honey, but I was just like so kind of distraught, like by myself in this parking lot, strange man approaching, asking for something, and it's yeah. night. And I'm like, and if I said honey, and I did it the other day. Here's a good one too. So there was one the other day. I get a call from my ex-wife asking about something, and I was in the middle of cooking. And again, this is not because I still feel that way about her in any way, sure. shape, or form, but I said it too. She was asking something about Harper. I said, it's going to be okay, hon. It's no big deal. And because I really didn't care, because it wasn't a big deal. She's like, you don't have, like, you caught, and I said, I'm sorry. I do that. I wasn't paying attention. I'm distracted. I'm doing something else. You caught me off guard. Okay.
So that's your go-to phrase. That's I don't give a shit. I whatever. Don't know why. Leave me alone phrase.
I think it was because years in that marriage, I had to like constantly like calm her down on some shit. So it would always be like, I'm the voice of reason, and saying that, I think, just became like my second nature. It's like muscle memory almost, but I don't, yeah. I mean, but I say it to everything, to pets, to people, to contractors, to homeless people, to anything. So, I mean, and I also wanted to say to her, like, don't take that as any way, shape, or form. I call the dog honey. I call homeless people honey. I call the contractors honey. It's just in my fucking DNA now. don't feel special. Like, I'm not trying to insinuate anything whatsoever, but it's just like one of those, like, I don't know. That's what I go to. So I kind of give her some grace on being like, anything's okay, or whatever she said. I think
that probably threw off that homeless guy. It mm-hmm. probably, or whatever he was, yeah. probably threw him off. Like, what? And then you were gone. You know, you stunned him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't expecting that response.
It probably did. And I should go come up with some other that's more of a shocking response to scare people away when they're coming
out. That works, though. I yeah. think that works. Not honey, today, hon. Yeah.
Not today, hon. But would you like to join me for a latte over there in the dark corner behind Ew. The dumpster? God,
things happen in Walmart parking lots.
And it's a relatively good Walmart, too. That's why I was kind of like shocked, because I'm like, this is like one of the better ones. This is like clean. They got security cameras everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. Here's another fun one. Arizona man allegedly kills his dad because he won't buy him groceries. This one is from True Crime Daily, KHPO-TV in the Arizona Republic. A 43-year-old man was arrested for allegedly stabbing his father to death after he reportedly refused to pay for groceries. According to KPHO-TV, Mesa police were asked to conduct a welfare check on Jason Jescro's apartment on Friday, April 1st, because neither Jason nor his father was answering their cell phone. The person who requested the welfare check reportedly told police Jason's father went to Jason's apartment to go grocery shopping on Thursday, March 31st, but never came home. Caller also reported noting that Jason has schizophrenia and was not on his medication. Well, there you go.
There you go.
The Arizona Republic reports police knocked on Jason's apartment door several times, but no one answered until they almost forced entry. He reportedly told police he killed his father because he would not pay for Jason's groceries after his debit card was declined. Jason allegedly told police he stabbed his dad in the ear. with a homemade spear-like object, because who doesn't have that? Then used a switchblade to attack him in the neck. Well, when you don't get your yoo-hoos paid for, that kind of happens. Jesher reportedly showed police during an interview the knife he used to allegedly kill his father, as well as blood spatter on his shoes. KPHO reports police asked him about what happened to his father, and he said, "I killed him." He allegedly thought his father and another person were threatening him. Okay, so he's booked on charges of second-degree murder and tampering with physical evidence. So this is someone, obviously, with a mental illness. There you go. It's been answered what happened there. His brain ain't working.
And what's so hard about things like schizophrenia, I think I've known a couple of people who've had it. And when they take their medication and they're feeling better, they think they don't have to take their medication because they feel better.
That's the thing with most.
You get in this weird circular reasoning where it's like, no, because you took your medication, that's why you feel better. So then they don't take their meds. Mm-hmm. And then you end up, you know, with them having delusions and thinking people are out to get them again. Yep. And it's really hard to get them to take their meds again.
That's one of the most difficult things with most mental illnesses is you start to feel better and then it's you start thinking, I don't need to take this anymore. I'm cured or I'm better. And then they get off it or they don't maintain the medication, because when you're on something like that, anything that's going to be messing with your brain, you go and maintain wellness checks with your psychiatrist, and they'll, you know, you talk, you know, is this, you know, working, you know, should it be up, should it be down, this or that. And the thing is, there's a fear that goes into a lot of people too, because oftentimes anxiety is a very prevalent thing in these sort of cases. Yeah. Then there's a fear that if that medication is adjusted or changed in any way, shape or form, you know, things could go to shit. And eventually the medication isn't really working at all, but they're afraid to adjust it. And so the liver is just eating up the medication and it's not doing its job after umpteen years. And they're back to really being completely whatever is the disorder that they have and never getting medicated. That's another way it can go too. So there's that. That's the scary thing with it. Expecting someone who has a disorder of the sort to be a cognizant participant in its management.
It's really difficult. And it's almost like you need somebody to guide you through it on a daily basis.
And that's the problem with so many of these things when it comes to mental illnesses, is the law and the cards are all in the hands of the person who is ill. And they can dictate so much. And a care, unless it's like legally set as a caregiver in some way, shape or form, like a spouse or all that, not that. Like, it still has to be something even beyond that. And even in some states, it doesn't fucking matter. It's still up to the individual what they're going to do or not. Even if the doctors say this person absolutely needs this, unless they're restrained and in a hospital, which is not very common, it's up to them. And you could be sitting there going, look, this person is doing this and that. It's not illegal, but they potentially could be a harm. Until they actually do the harm, there ain't shit you can do. And that's where the system is really messed up. Like, there's just people that just need this and need someone by their side, not because they want to hurt them or feed them pills. They want them to be the healthiest version of themselves that they can. But the system does not work in a way to allow that. And the people, a lot of times, and I'm speaking firsthand from experience with people like this, is they're the last ones that in many cases will acknowledge or even understand or comprehend the damage that they are doing and to themselves or others. And it just spirals out of control. And that's, you know, I think that is a lot to do with the situations that we're in today, with just insane amounts of homelessness everywhere. And it's all mental illness. I mean, it's people that could certainly be better, live productive lives. But we're just like, well, you're tough luck, bad times. No. There's people, it's mental illnesses running rampant. And I don't know how we're going to ever, or what's going to take for us to say, let's fucking make this something we should focus on. It's a fucking epidemic everywhere. It's not just that, it's not housing prices. Is that a contributing factor? Sure. At the bottom line, though, it's fucking mental illness.
Yeah, it is. And if you take a look at a lot of the medications that are used for mental illness, the pricing itself is, you know, if you're dealing with somebody who's homeless, first of all, they don't have access to a lot of things. And then if the medication that would help them is so expensive, there's so many roadblocks to getting healthy. And obviously there are some resources that they could go to, but again, they don't know that they have those resources available. They don't have a computer that they can sit in front of. A lot of them don't have cell phones that, you know, can get them on the internet, and maybe they don't even know that these things exist.
Well, and there's a stigma. I mean, even if they know it exists, there's a stigma that is attached with it. And then there's also just you're relying on someone who is not well to make a good choice about that. And their brain is already working against them at that. So you're relying on them to make the choice to do that, even if it were free, even if it were, because there's many places where this is free and available. And a lot of the drugs that you can get for mental health issues, you can get for nearly nothing. In a lot of cases now with things like the GoodRx or whatever, Walmart's or this or that's prescription programs, if you don't have insurance, they do make it. There's ways of getting something that can help. But again, you're relying on someone to make that choice, and they have to be the one that stand up and say, I need this or I want this. So if it's been stigmatized their whole life, if their view of it is already, I don't need that, I just need a house, or I need money, or I need this or that. Sure. Yes. All those would be good. But the core building block to all of that is to be mentally healthy. And in some cases, that's never going to happen, even with medication. And we need to look at that and help people there. But I don't know how the hell we're just sitting in the situation now where it's just completely out of control everywhere we look. And you just know, like, mental health problems every fucking place.
Well, it is. And, you know, for those of the people who didn't have any mental health issues at all, the pandemic over the last couple of years now, people who did not identify as somebody having a mental illness, they have now crossed over a line where they're anxious, they're depressed. Yeah. So mental illness is something that the stigma is going to have to go away, because a lot of us are dealing with issues. And I do say us, because the pandemic has just been, you know, we've never dealt with this. And now we've got the possibility of war out there. So it's a scary world. Yeah. And, you know, as a society, we're not very kind to each other. And I think we're on the brink of not just a war, but a breakdown of society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all going to be out in the streets with, you know, spears and going after each other. It's such a negative view of things, but I think unless we figure out how to deal with our stress levels and just a basic level of compassion and humanity with each other, I think we're in trouble.
Remember, like, when the worst things we talked about were like Britney Spears wearing a snake around her neck and shit like that. And that was like the topic of our shows.
Yeah. And how did J-Lo fit into that outfit?
I know. And now it's just like we're going on like, and we're in a breakdown of society. It's like, shit, things have changed.
They've changed a little bit. Yeah. It's wow. Yeah. Society. And, you know, I kind of miss the days of worrying about what Britney Spears was up to and what are the Kardashians doing. And it's different now, you know?
Yeah. Just a little. Did I tell you my story of the Lowe's the other day?
No.
Okay. So
first of all, what are you doing there? What are you working on now?
What am I not working on right now?
Okay.
I have a garden. I'm doing a straw bale garden or hay bale garden. It is straw. I got that going. I'm getting this office put together. I'm building a theater in the barn.
Cool.
So I have many things going. So I spend a lot of money at Lowe's. And I go to this one frequently. It's like my close one that I go to. And I've noticed in the last, I'd say 2 months or so, that the restrooms have gotten really, really bad. And it's not just like, you know, oh, because I noticed this across the board everywhere. Restrooms have gotten worse. And I blame COVID. That's the one thing I say. You know what I miss about COVID? Clean restrooms and in public spaces. Because they were. Like, everybody was, like, super cleaning these things. And it was lovely. It was like now that, like, people aren't doing masks anymore and we all pretend this isn't a thing. It's like cleaning restrooms has gone the opposite way. And they're not cleaned at all. Now, I know it's a hardware store, but there's a lot of people. And there used to be like the little thing on the door, like checked this hour, and then they would maintain it and clean it. That isn't a thing anymore. And I'm happy to say the name of the store, because the reactions that I got while in there, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm saying it. So at this Lowe's, I go in there every single stall. This is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on like a Wednesday. It is literally overflowing with poop. Overflowing. I'm not even kidding you. Like, water on the floor, stuff on the floor. Mike, I'm getting the hell out of here. Like, just breathing this in is like got to be just, you know, violating some sort of OSHA standard. And so I get out of there and I walk up to somebody that works there, and I said, sir, I guess got to tell you, I know it's not your fault here. And I always got to preface that, because everybody takes everything like it's a personal fucking attack. Not just because it's like, you're employed here, I'd like you to know, and please send, you know, give this message to whoever needs it. It's like, I said, I know it's not your fault. Got to make sure your feelings are okay. But your restrooms are disgusting. I don't know what's going on, but like every toilet's overflowing. It's got to be like a safety violation of some sort. He goes, that's the customer's fault. And I look at him, just like, okay, it's on. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, they're disgusting. They don't clean. I said, well, I get you have customers, but this is a store. And you're going to have a wide array of people. Do you guys like not check the restrooms anymore? Or have you just given up on them completely? Or what's going on? He's like, well, it was clean this morning at 10 a.m. I said, well, it's 2 p.m.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll tell
not
somebody.
Right.
I'm like, it's the customer's fault. Well, no shit. It's whoever shit in there's fault, all, you know, for making that happen. But it's the store's fault for allowing this to clean. You have to clean it up. If you're going to operate a massive hardware store where you have contractors coming up, guess what? Part of the fucking job is cleaning your goddamn restrooms, whether you like it or not. It's part of the fucking job. And maybe not his, but the store needs to figure this out. And I went and talked to another person. When I was trying to find something, I said, can I tell you something that just happened up front? And I told him the story, and he rolls his eyes and he kind of laughs. And he's like, it's insane. He's like, you should see the store up in Springdale, which is another city here. He's like, that one, it's you can smell it outside of the restroom. I'm like,
what is happening? Is it this whole thing of there's just not enough people to work, is it that people don't care anymore?
I think it's both. And I asked him, I said, well, what's going on? I said, what's happening? He's like, well, in a way to cut costs, they thought they'll just hire a cleaning service and they do it once a day in the morning. And that's
the morning.
Yeah. I'm like,
so whatever is there sits overnight.
Like, are you serious? And he's like, it's insane. He's like, this is what they do. He said, we're not allowed to go in there and do it. He's like, sometimes we will just because it gets so bad, but we're not supposed to do that at all. And that's just how it works. I'm like, oh my God, it's crazy. He's like, I know. He's like,
I'm telling you, Tony, this is the end of society.
I know.
As we know it.
I completely agree, because this is just like this massive breakdown. And then you point out these obvious things and go like, could we look? It's not like, fuck you, you horrible human beings. Why have you not cleaned? It's just like, could we look at this? Like, I asked to talk to a manager, and of course you can't ever talk to a manager, because a manager never wants to like be responsible for anything anymore. And when you finally do, you realize, oh, I think they're a 16-year-old in high school.
Right.
And like, you're managing the Lowe's now. Like, yeah, I got the most following.
Good for you.
I got a million followers on TikTok, and they said I should be a Lowe's manager. Okay. That's great. Your restrooms are horrible. Well, our policy is to do that. Then it goes back to a policy or this or that. Always some sort of excuse as to why we can't fix the problem. And it's mind boggling. Sometimes I'll go down these rabbit holes and like dig and dig and dig and be like, okay, if it's not your, you know, decision, I get that. But then who above you's decision is it? Who do I need to talk to? I'll gladly call the corporate. I'll do whatever. But I want to dig into this because this is insane. And it just leads down a rabbit hole that ultimately goes nowhere. So enjoy the shitty Lowe's restrooms, everybody. I don't know if this is a local decision or an everywhere decision, but Lowe's is fucking disgusting when it comes to restrooms. And the reaction of, it's the customer's fault. I can't. And the thing is, that was from an older gentleman, too. Usually those are the ones who have a little more decorum and remember society when we took responsibility in things. I find it a lot more times it's the super young ones that are like, you know, well, it's the customer's fault, you know, and as they play on their phone while they talk to you. This guy was more like giving up on life.
You know, if you're not going to clean a restroom, you should just shut it down.
Yeah,
no, we don't have a restroom.
Close it.
Because or have an outhouse, you know.
Well, I'm just thinking like the disgustingness of it. Honestly, it is a health hazard. It's literally open waste everywhere in this room that you're allowing customers to go into. I mean, it's the same as like having an open sewage line next to moving supplies. It really is, because the customers can access it. It's not like it's like some, you know, pit underneath the building that's overflowing. It's in open space for your customers to go into. I mean, how long till somebody, you know, slips or some kid goes in there, you know, just some kid that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing because they're little. And you walk in like, okay, you know, honey, go in there, use the bathroom. And then they come out and they're like, have a fucking handful of shit in their hands. You know, it's, I mean,
this is gross, but did you take a picture of it for evidence?
No, I just got the fuck out of there. I should have. But I mean, again, what's the point anymore? I mean, a couple of years ago, you could like kind of publicly shame these places on Twitter.
And they don't care now.
They don't care anymore. It's like everybody shames us. They give up. So it's like it doesn't matter. Even me calling it out on the show doesn't fucking matter. It's like, yep, we know.
Okay, full circle back to the woman on the plane with the masturbating. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
See?
That's the attitude. And I get it. At some point, you're just like, you've seen enough. You're not going to surprise me anymore. Yeah, you're right. It's societal breakdown, 100%. I don't know what, I mean, I think we're already there.
I think we are.
The movie Idiocracy is really reminiscent of real life today. One more. Sarah Lawrence, sex cult leader, convicted of 15 crimes, including sex trafficking and extortion. Larry Ray is a predator, an evil man who did evil things, a prosecutor said after Wednesday's guilty verdicts. The man is accused of moving into his daughter's college dorm room at Sarah Lawrence College. How the fuck do you even do that? And sexually and psychologically abusing a group of her schoolmates and other young people, was convicted on Wednesday, People confirms. The verdict against Lawrence Ray, 62, was handed down in federal courtroom in New York City. Ray was convicted in all 15 counts he faced, including sex trafficking, extortion, and racketeering conspiracy. In late 2010, so this happened in 2010, and it's 2020. It took 12 years for our judicial system to go, we should do something about you. Ray moved into his daughter's room during her sophomore year at Sarah Lawrence, a prestigious liberal arts college in Bronxville, New York, just outside of New York City. Shortly thereafter, he began giving therapy sessions to his daughter's roommates, purportedly to help them with psychological problems. The incident handed down against him after his 2020 arrest. It was through these sessions that Ray laid the groundwork for psychological conditioning that would eventually lead these young adults to become unwitting victims of sexual exploitation, verbal and physical abuse, extortion, forced labor, and prostitution. How the fuck do you just move into your daughter's dorm and then brainwash everyone?
Well, where was the RA during this time? Where were people? I mean, if you've got like some, you know, at the time, 50-year-old guy living on your floor.
I mean, didn't it used to be like if you caught like a boy on the girl's floor or a girl on the boy's floor, like for 5 minutes, it was like, oh, shit, like you could get kicked out for that. Fucking let your predator dad moves in and starts a cult.
Well, I can't believe that nobody like raised a red flag and said, hey, her dad's living with her, which, you know, okay, if something's going on and he moves into the dorm for a week, you know, I can understand that. But he actually like moved in and was there for a 4-year period, it looks like.
According to the incident, Ray, who presented himself as a father figure, a psychologist, and a spiritual advisor, all rolled into one. He's the trifecta. Learned intimate details about the victim's private lives, vulnerabilities, and mental health struggles under the pretense of helping them. Ray alienated several of the victims from their parents and convinced several of the victims that they were broken and needed fixing by Ray. Ray would often coerce his victims into giving false confessions for offenses they did not commit, and would then extract payment in compensation for these alleged offenses. New York Times reports that the former student Claudia Dury testified that Ray coerced a false confession from her that she had poisoned him. Subsequently, Ray demanded payments from her and threatened she could go to prison. After that, Dury testified he convinced her to become a sex worker.
Oh, come on.
Over a 4-year period, she testified she gave about $2.5 million in earnings. Another former.
Wow.
I guess my question here is, okay, I don't think anyone can be brainwashed this way, but what the fuck, where are these people's parents? I get their college kids, but I guess how sheltered were these, and I'm not trying to victim shame here, I'm just trying to psychologically understand this, how sheltered were these children that when they got to be college age, they were able to kind of go down this road this far?
Well, where's everybody else? Where are the, you know, like I said, where's the RA? Where are their parents? Where are their friends? Somebody had to say, this is not right.
My daughter watches To Catch a Predator. She knows like what shitty people are. She knows what to look out for. And she's 9. I don't worry about her getting into a situation like this. But you know what? There's plenty of girls that are, you know, nearly college age or college age, you know, that I've seen, you know, with friends and family and stuff. And it's like, Jesus, like, this person's not remotely prepared for, like, life. And well, so I guess I can see how this happens. But I think that's ultimately a massive failure on the parents for allowing your kid to become an adult, leave your home, and not be remotely mentally prepared for life.
Well, and to be skeptical.
Yes.
You know, there's so many things about this situation. Nothing about this sounds normal.
Yeah.
Nothing about this is like, oh, yeah, no big deal. You know, yeah. my roommate had her dad move in. I mean, no, that doesn't sound right. No. Or I'm getting counseling from a college mate's dad. None of that sounds right. This is not, he must be really crafty at being able to manipulate people.
I'm sure
there must be something about him that is like serial killer, like where he could just suck people in without raising their red flags. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, the thing is, there's like so many red flags here and so many, you know, assuming stops to this that should have caught this from, you know, the faculty of the dorms catching this to all of the people involved. It's a fucking dorm. There's a lot of people that come and go out of these places. How did all of these, you know, fail safes fail? It's just how did all of these things fail altogether to allow this to happen? I understand that someone's young, they're impressionable, maybe not the brightest in life yet because they haven't experienced much. They were sheltered too much. Parents didn't parent. Sure, that happens. I get it. But how the fuck did all these other things that we have in place to make up for lack of sufficient parenting also fail too? Or I don't know. I'm baffled at this one.
It just, they slipped through so many cracks. Yeah. Somebody somewhere, even in, I just, you know, in the laundry room, you know, like, why is this old guy here? You know, there's so many things that should have been a flag to somebody that there's something just not right here. If you see something, say something. And I know, you know, based on at least my college experience, if I had seen even one of these things, I would have been like, something's weird here. What's going on? And people, they need to have the confidence to speak up and say, something seems weird here. Can somebody tell me what's going on? Why is so-and-so living in this dorm room?
Yeah.
You know, why are all these people filtering in and coming out?
Yeah.
He stuck a plastic bag over somebody's head and tried to suffocate her while he extorted her for money. I mean, why aren't people seeing what's going on? It just,
yeah,
I don't get it.
And I know this was like prior to Me Too in 2010 and everything, but still, 2010 was not like archaic times.
No.
So, I mean, there was, you know, this sort of fucking like To Catch a Predator was at its peak around that time. This was a common thing talked about and exposed, and like this, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. I do not understand how the fuck this happened, but it did.
Really sad. Again, if you see something, say something. If one of your friends is going through something that just doesn't seem right, pull them aside and go, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah. And then ultimately then too, many cases, they're the ones that then have to speak up and do something. And I think that's the point where a lot of it breaks down, where it's like, no, you know, because there's embarrassment, there's shame, there's this or that. And I get it. That's horrible, you know, to have to be like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. But, you know, it's going to keep happening until these people are put away. And there's great resources now to get these people put away, you know, without a lot of question even. And that's another scary thing too, with how, you know, this can go on, but someone could just make an allegation out of the blue and ruin someone's life.
Yeah.
With no evidence at all. Just, they're mad, or they want to ruin someone's life, and then they can ruin someone's life with absolutely nothing that ever happened. So I don't know. It's such a bizarre place that we are in. So anyway, as society falls, we're here to tell you about it with a better variety of end of world stories for your workday. That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. Be sure to check out our Patreon page and support us there. And press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side Of.